ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, नारायण नमस्कृतम् नारं चरमं नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। मुखं करोति वाचलां पङ्गुं लङ्घयति गिरिं यत्कृपतां महां वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनधारणम्। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण। So we read from today from Srimad Bhagavatam 4th canto 25th chapter text 3 describing the characteristics of King Puranjana, beginning of it. Please repeat. Prachini parisam kshaptaha karmasa asakta manasam narado adhyatma tatvagya kripalu pratyapodhayat prachini parisam kshaptaha प्रचीनपाठिशं क्षतः कर्मशवसक्तमानसम् कर्मशवसक्तमानसम् नारतोत्ययत्मतत्त्वज्ञः नारतोत्ययत्मतत्त्वज्ञनया नारदात्यात्मतत्त्वज्ञः कृपालु प्रत्यबोधयात् कृपालु प्रत्यबोधयात् प्रचिनिवारेशं क्षतः कर्मसशक्तमानसम् नारदात्यात्मतत्त्वज्ञः Kripalu pratyapodayat. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Gichai. While the princes, the Prachetas, sons of Prachinipari, were undergoing severe austerities in the water, their father was performing different types of fruitive activities. At this time, the great saint Narada, master and teacher of all spiritual life, became very compassionate upon the king and decided to instruct him about spiritual life. Purport. As pointed out by Prabhudananda Sarasvati Thakur, a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, Kaivalya, or merging into the Brahman effulgence, is just like going to hell. He similarly states that elevation to the upper planetary existence for the enjoyment of heavenly life is just so much phantasmagoria. This means that the devotee does not give any importance to the ultimate goal of the karmis and jnanis. The ultimate goal of the karmis is promotion to the heavenly kingdom, and the ultimate goal of the jnanis is merging into the Brahman effulgence. Of course, the jnanis are superior to the karmis, as confirmed by Lord Chaitanya, Koti Karmanishta Madhye Eka Jnani Shrestha. One Jnani or impersonalist is better than many thousands of fruitive actors. Quote from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela 19.147. Therefore, a devotee never enters upon the path of karma or elevation by fruitive activities. Narad Muni took compassion upon King Prachinibharishad when he saw the king engaged in fruitive activity. In comparison to mundane workers, those who are trying to be elevated to the higher plant resistance by performing yagyas are undoubtedly superior. In pure devotional service, however, both karma and jnana are considered bewildering features of the illusory energy. Prachani Parisham Kshattaha Karma Shavasakta Manasam Narodot Yatma Tattva Kyaha Kripalu Pratyapodayat. While the princes were undergoing severe austerities in the water, their father was performing different types of fruitive activities. At this time, the great Saint Narada, master and teacher of all spiritual life, became very compassionate upon the king and decided to instruct him about spiritual life. So this it's the beginning of a very elaborate story from Srimad Bhagavatam, the story of Puranjana. It's actually an analogical story. Like in Bible also, we find analogical stories who give an example how to act properly or how not to act, or how we should not act. So Narad Muni, he approached King Prachinibhari, who was quite old already in that time. Therefore, he already planned, because in Vedic structure of Varnashram, the king doesn't want to occupy the throne until he drops down from the throne, dead. He prepares himself that he can give the throne to the next generation, to the sons. Therefore, a desire or family planning of the king is always to have a putra, right? Good son. Because if you have a good son, then the king has no more problem about the future of his kingdom, who will occupy his throne. That means they will take it over. But he also knew very well that before his sons would be able to occupy his throne and become qualified rulers of the citizens in his kingdom, they have to perform for some time tapasya. Tapasya brahmacharina. Samena cha, damena cha, yagena satya saucevam, yamena niyamenava. This is the training program. Not with 50 we should start this program, but with 5. Kumara. Prahlad Maharaj, he says. And the Kumara stage, we should perform tapasya and follow rules and regulations, regulating mind and the senses, self-control, etc. So this preliminary training is very important for somebody who wants to become successful in any varna or ashrama. So therefore the king sent the princes to perform tapasya. And fortunately, Bhagyavanaji, they received the darshan of Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva gave them his song, Shiva Stotram. So over 80 verses in previous months here in Vrindavan, there are discussions about this prayer. of Lord Shiva given to the sons of Prachinibhari, the Prachetas. But now we hear here that in the same time when Shiva was instructing the princes, giving them his song, the Shiva Stotram, in the same time also Narada visited the father of the Prachetas, out of Kripalu, out of mercy, Kripa. Guru Kripa Prasade Bhai, Bhakti Lata Beach. Only by the mercy or the Kripa of the Vaishnava, compassionate soul, one can actually become delivered from the entanglement of a cycle of birth and death. So Prachinibhari Sad was obviously performing karma kanda activities, because at that time it was the rule to follow karma kanda, then go to jnana kanda, then do upasana kanda, and ultimately maybe after many lifetimes get mukti. So therefore the Vedic program was dharma, artha, kama, moksha. So to get good artha, good achievements, good results in life, and also sense gratification, kama, one needs dharma. So therefore the Vedic literatures describe many dharma rules and regulations, what one should perform or execute to purify oneself, to get pious credit, pious karma, punya karma, and ultimately come to, if you are fortunate, after a long time, come to jnana, and ultimately to worship upasana kanda, worshipping the demigods especially, because the demigods, devas, they're all the different part and parcels of Lord Vishnu. So in the upasana kanda, one worships the different different deva forms to get their mercy. So ultimately also by the Lord, who is the root of the whole of all the devas and the whole material creation. He is Jagannath. So the program is gradual elevation. So this program is also called Pravritti Mark. Pravritti Mark. That means gradual process of going through fruitive activities and coming to jnana kanda, maybe upasana, and then to pure bhakti or love and devotion. But it's actually very rare, because it may take many lifetimes. Bahunam janaman ante, jnanamam mam prabhatyante, vasudeva paramiti samahatma sudurlabha. So to actually come to the to the ultimate siddhanta or goal of Veda, it's very rarely, it's a durlabha, it's very rarely attained. It's very, very rarely attained. Because the pure devotional service is something very deep, very confidential. And that only can become revealed if one gets the fortune of a devotee who actually has this bhakti and this love of, and also practices this love and devotion to Krishna, not as an occupation, not as an as some flattering or to get some material benefit. No, for a devotee has no such an interest, because a devotee who is fixed in bhakti, bhakti aham ekaha graya, who only has bhakti he knows only by bhakti we can please and achieve Krishna's attention. So therefore the devotee, the bhakta is not interested in karma kanda, jnana kanda, and even upasana kanda. So for that, we have a song by Narottam Das Thakur, Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, Kevala Vishera Banda. In his Prema Bhakti Chandrika songbook, Srila Narottam Das Thakur sings Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, Kevala Vishera Banda, Amrita Palita Yeha Kaya, Nana Yoni Sada Pire, Kataria Bhakshana Kare, Tare Chanma Adha Pate Yai. He says, through defectivities and mental speculation are simply cups of poison, Vishera Banda. Whoever drinks of them, thinking them to be nectar, Amrita, must struggle very hard life after life in different types of bodies. Such a person eats all kinds of nonsense and becomes condemned by his activities of so-called sense enjoyment. So it's general. Also Rupa Goswami is pointing out that your devotional service is free of karma and jnana. Jnana kamadi anavritam anukulena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttama. And also Narad Muni, sarvapati vinirmuktam taparatvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakti uchate. So these statements makes very clear the motivation, that the devotee has no motivation than pure devotional service. But they're very rare. They're very rare. Amongst the thousands of searchers, amongst thousands of those who are looking after the truth, only very rarely is one who is looking after Narayana Para. Very rarely, that's described in the sixth canto. Very rarely somebody becomes a devotee of Krishna and engages in pure devotional service. Oh, he's very rare. Therefore, most of the people in this world, they have interest in karma activities. And there are two kinds of karma activities, as we all know. Punya karma and vikarma, sinful activities and pious activities. So pious activities are certainly better than sinful activities, but ultimately, even if you are the most pious person, you cannot deliver yourself. You maybe just improve your life from third-class prisoner to first-class prisoner, but still, you are imprisoned. So therefore, just to be a pious person doesn't make us qualified to get the Lord's mercy or attain liberation at any time. So it's not possible at all. There's a story in connection with Chaitanya Leela. One time when Lord Chaitanya had his nocturnal kirtans in the house of Srivas Thakur in Mayapur, Srivas Angam, famous place. So Lord Chaitanya, he told, I only want to sing or chant Prema Kirtan with my very confidential devotees. And nobody can enter who is not a pure devotee of mine. Somebody had to stay guard and stay outside. So one time a brahmachari came. Brahmachari. So he came and he wanted to enter the kirtan. He wanted to witness Lord Chaitanya's dance, ecstatic dance. But there was Srivas Thakur, he was the owner of the house, so he was sometimes looking who is outside, who is knocking on the door, who is ringing. And he opened, and there was a brahmachari. So he asked the brahmachari, "Who are you?" "I'm brahmachari such and such, and I want to see the kirtan of the Lord. I'm actually only eating milk. It's my only food. I'm very renounced, only drink milk to maintain my life." So Shivas went inside of the to tell Lord Chaitanya, "Can I let a certain brahmachari such so and so in? Because he would like to see you dancing." And he says he only drinks milk. So Lord Chaitanya replied, "One cannot attain love to Krishna just by drinking milk and just by being a brahmachari." So Shivas, he brought a message out and he told to the brahmachari, "Sorry, I cannot let you in. The Lord told, one cannot attain him just by brahmachari and by drinking milk." Oh, the brahmachari became very sad. But he didn't give up. He became very sad. He cried and he lamented, "Oh, what is the use of my brahmachari and of my austerity of only drinking one time milk in a day if I cannot see the Lord loving dance, ecstatic dance?" And Lord Chaitanya, who is the super soul, the super soul in everyone's heart, he understood. Now, this brahmachari, he became humble. He started to regret, he became anxious for the Lord's special mercy and even condemned his own brahmachari and milk drinking and his whole tapasya he put on the side. He said, "Condemned with this, and now what is the use? I cannot attain the Lord." Then the Lord told the Shivas, "Now we can call him in, he's qualified." And so the brahmachari was called, he was very fortunate, he was so happy. "Oh, now I can see Lord Chaitanya's ecstatic Krishna Prema dance." So this example shows we cannot attain the Lord by tapa, by dana, and so on. It's not possible. Tapasya brahmacharina, the verse already quoted. It's not possible to attain. It maybe purifies you to a certain extent, but it is like cutting just the plants, the weeds, even maybe rooting them out, but the seeds are still there. And therefore, after the next rainfall, they will sprout again, and again you have the problem, you know. So much anartha, so many material desires, so much selfishness, so much proud, lust, greed, like that. We cannot conquer it. We become hopeless. So we cannot do it by our own self, by our... So therefore Shukadev Goswami in the next verse he says, "Kechi kevala bhaktya vasudeva parayana." Only by kevala bhakti, by the pure devotional service to Krishna, without any false motivation, kevala bhakti, all these material desires are vanquished, they're destroyed by bhakti, because it's like a fire. Or he actually gives the example of sunrise. Iharam iva bhaskara. Bhaskara means the sun, right? The sun. When the sun rises in the morning, not even the whole sun disk has to be up, but only already the sun is ready with the first glimpse, with the first rises, you know, it dissipates all darkness, all tamasa will go away. That's the benefit of bhakti. But still, because it is confidential, the bhakti, it was not spread so much. And even Vyasadeva, who was the compiler of the Vedic literatures and the Mahabharata and Vedanta, he felt empty and unsatisfied in the heart. And then he actually started to contemplate what gives me dissatisfaction, because now I wrote the great Bharata, this great history of Bharata. I performed all my ritualistic activities of purification and my oblations, everything he did properly, but I'm still not satisfied. So on that point, when he realized his dissatisfaction, who came? Narada Muni. Narada Muni appeared, and the well-known sage was greeted by the great sage Vyasadeva, who offered his obeisance and welcome to him. And Narada Muni immediately found out, oh, Vyasadeva, why you are so sad? Why you are lamenting? Why you are so pale in your face? You obviously don't look happy. Although you wrote a very nice book here, this Mahabharata, and you wrote also some Puranic literatures, and you divided the Veda and gave Vedanta Sutra and like that, and still you are not satisfied. So why? So I can tell you, you are not satisfied because we didn't emphasize enough Krishna. You emphasize so many things very nicely in your books, but you missed the one thing, the main thing, Krishna. And without Krishna, as Prabhupada told many times, you know, it's like without Krishna everything is zero. So, but if you put the one in front of it, then everything becomes successful. Every zero becomes meaningful. So therefore, a devotee, he doesn't want to waste time. That's one of the ecstatic symptoms of a devotee who is already advanced in his devotional service. He doesn't want to waste time, and he's very determined in his service and in his bhajan for the pleasure of Lord Krishna. And he doesn't think about anything else. For him, everything else is a waste of time. Srila Prabhupada also mentioned here Prabhudananda Sarasvati. His samadhi is just here down to Kaliagat on the right side. So he wrote two very important books. One about Lord Chaitanya, prayers to Lord Chaitanya, and another one about prayers to Vrindavan. Vrindavan Mahamrita. So he, in this book about Lord Chaitanya, he made a prayer to Lord Chaitanya. He says, Dante nidhaya trinakam padayo nipatya kritva cha kaku satam etat aham pravimi. He sadava sakalam eva vihaya durat Chaitanya chandra charane karutan. Karutanuragam. No, sorry, that's another one. But this is also nice. Taking a straw between my teeth and falling at your feet a hundred of times, I humbly submit, O great personality, please give up all mundane knowledge that you have learned and just submit yourself at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then another one, Prabhudananda Sarasvati. Kaivalyam narakayatre tridasa purakasa pushpayate durandendriya kala sarpapatali protkata tamstrayate vishvam purna sukayate viti mahendra dishakitayate yatkarunya kataksha vibhavavatam tam goram evastumaha. He says, for a devotee, the pleasure of merging into the existence of Brahman is considered hellish. Narakayate. Similarly, he considers a promotion to heavenly planets just another kind of phantasmagoria. The yogis meditate for sense control, but for the devotee, the senses appear like serpents with broken teeth. The whole material world appears joyful for a devotee, and even great personalities like Lord Brahma and Indra are considered no better than insects. Such is the position of a devotee who has received but a small glance of the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Under this most magnanimous personality, I offer my respectful obeisances. So, this very famous verse, Prabhupada quoted very much also this verse. So a devotee considers liberation hellish, especially in Brahman, merging in the Brahman, or to merging in the body of the Lord, it's even worse. And fruitive activities, karma kandya, with the purpose to elevate oneself to heavenly planets, is like a phantasmagoria, it's an illusion. Will on the wrist. It's a very illusory thing, very temporary thing, because one cannot stay there. Everything in this material world, it's temporary. Even going up to Brahmaloka, there is misery, and one has to fall down. Therefore, great devotees like Narad Muni, since beginning of his life, he tells to Vyasadeva, I became the son of Brahma in this day of Brahma, and I got this Veena, my only companion, the Veena of Narad Muni. He got it from the Lord himself as a present. And accompanied with this Veena, he is always traveling, touring throughout the whole world, and tries to spread bhakti, the process of pure devotional service, since time immemorial. So he is a very munificent person. Actually, he's the most dear son of Brahma, because Brahma, he had many sons. Some became fruitive, karma kandis, some became jnana kandis. But after some time, after he made the creation and created all these sages, the karma kandi and the jnana kandi sages, he started to think, what is the use of all this creation? If everyone in this creation is entangling himself, life after life. So what kind of job I'm actually doing here? What kind of job is this? I'm keeping these people always imprisoned, life after life. And I'm Brahma. I'm intelligent and I got the mercy of the Lord from the beginning. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya charnadyasa yatan chatesha abhigyasvara tene brahma adi kavaye muyantiya tsuraya. So he became enlightened in the heart by the Lord. The Lord revealed himself, he gave him mantra, he gave him vision in the spiritual world. He saw the Vaikuntha, he saw the Goloka. So Brahma, he thought, I know ultimately the goal of life, but everyone who is now in this material world, in my creation, they become entangled. So what to do? And from this thought, in his mind, because everything what Brahma thinks immediately becomes manifested. So from this thought, Narada Muni appeared. And Narada Muni, he has no interest in family life, in karma kanda, jnana kanda. He was not a grihastha, he was not interested in any yagyas, in any family plan, like the four kumaras also. So Narada Muni, but the four kumaras, they were at the beginning jnani, and only later on, by the Lord's mercy, when they came to the door of Vaikuntha, that they got special smell of the Lord's lotus feet from the tulsi and flowers offered to his lotus feet, and their mind became changed, and therefore they are now also Shuddha Bhaktas, pure devotees. They are not jnani anymore. They gave up jnana. So only either one has directly getting the mercy of Krishna, that is very, very rare, or one gets the mercy of Krishna's very dear devotee, that is not different, but is more easily attainable or available, but also very, very rare. Especially in previous times, it was not so easy. Now, it is more easy, because now we have the disciplic succession coming from Narada Muni. Who made so many disciples out of his own compassion, you know, he preached to kings, to princes, to hunters, he also had no complex, or how say, to preach even to the 11,000 sons of Daksha. And he delivered them all, although Daksha had his own plan with them. But he gave them another plan. You don't waste time like your father, Daksha. Go back to Godhead, you know. Like the sage one time, he gave different blessings to different personalities, you know. To one person, he was a butcher. Srila Prabhupada also quoted this example many times. Especially in Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Disappearance Day. So he gave this famous lecture. Prabhupada told the story of the... There was a butcher who came to the sage. The sage gave him blessing. Don't live, don't die. Because if you live, you'll create troubles and go to hell. And if you die, you anyway go to hell. Better don't live, don't die. So then, who else came? Ultimately, a brahmachari came, who was performing celibacy and austerity like that. So the sage gave him blessing, better you die. And to a king, a prince, Rajaputra, Chiranjeeva, better don't die. Chiranjeev, don't die, because you live now like a feudal prince, born with a golden spoon in the mouth. So better don't die, you know, because you will perform not only or only so many so much karma, and will degrade you to materialistic life more and more. Better don't die. Stay always like that. And then he made a devotee, Vaishnava. And so Narada, the sage told him, for you, my dear Vaishnava, it doesn't matter if you live or die, because wherever you are, you give Krishna. You engage in devotional service. Narayana paraksarve nakutashya bibhyate svarga pavarga narakeshu apituliyata dashina. So for you, it doesn't matter. So therefore, in life, now in this life or in next life, you do devotional service who doesn't give any karma. But for the brahmachari, he told, better you die immediately, because what is the use of tapasya and brahmachari life if you don't chant Hare Krishna and surrender to Krishna, because this only will grant you liberation, and this is not the ultimate benediction or perfection. It's only a partial perfection, because Brahman is only a partial aspect of the Lord, the effulgence. So don't waste time now as brahmachari. Go immediately and attain Vaikuntha. Die and go. I give you a blessing. But a devotee, you can see, is perfectly situated, because he is engaged in devotional service. So, and Narada Muni is such a mukta, such a liberated person, who is free to travel everywhere and preach to anyone without complex, nobody can stop him. He will come. He even preached to Prahlad, who was the son of a demon. And this influenced Prahlad so much from the beginning. Even before he took birth, he was so much impressed of the Narada Muni's darshan and instructions. So he kept it his whole life. So Prahlad is a very great disciple of Srila Narada Muni. And in Prahlad's family, many great devotees appeared, like his grandson, what is his name? Bali Maharaj. So Bali Maharaj, he was actually a demon. Actually, Prahlad was also born in demon family. But by the mercy of Narad Muni, he made him devotee, pure bhakta. And Pali Maharaj, he was a demon, and he wanted to conquer the whole universe. And the Lord tricked him with the 3 steps of land, by the request of Aditi, mother of Indra, and ultimately Pali, he surrendered fully to Lord Vamanadeva Vishnu, and got benefited. And later on, Vamanadeva, Krishna promised to Prahlad, that was Nisingadev, he promised to Prahlad, I give you a blessing that anyone who appears in your family line, in your dynasty of Prahlad, I will not destroy them. I will protect them. And this is obvious in the story of the Srimad Bhagavatam of Banasura. Banasura, he was a demon. He had 1,000 arms. And he was very dear to Lord Shiva. Because, you know, we have nice mridanga players who play drums with 2 arms. No, but he has 1,000 arms, and he played such nice drum with such fanal beat, that he became very dear to Shiva, who was a very great dancer. Very great dancer. Especially his Pralaya dance is very famous. And for that he need a very good drummer with 1,000 arms. And this Banasura, he became very dear to Shiva because of that. But he still stayed Asura. And he had one very beautiful daughter, Usha. But Usha, she fell in love with Aniruddha, grandson of Krishna. And when Aniruddha wanted to go and meet her, this Banasura with his 1,000 hands, he captured him and kept Usha and Prince Aniruddha in his prison, in palace. So when the Yadus, Krishna Balaram, and all the Yadus heard about that, they became very upset and they attacked Banasura, his palace. It was a big battle. Ultimately, Krishna, his chakra yuda, has chakra, Sudarshan chakra, he cuts 996 arms of Banasura. And he left him 4 arms. He kept him alive. He didn't kill him. And then even Shiva came and asked, please protect my devotees, very dear to me. Sorry. And even myself, I took side of my devotee to fight against you, my dear Lord. Please forgive me my offense, my attack. And please also forgive the mistake of attack and the offense of my devotee. So Shiva, he asked for petition to the Lord to save the life of Banasura. And then Krishna says, it was anyway my promise, because Banasura appeared in the family of Prahlad, in the Asura line of Daitya line. So I promise to Prahlad, I will protect anyone of your family member, I will not kill. So don't fear. Krishna gave Banasura a blessing to become an eternal associate of Shiva in Shiva Loka. Not in Shiva Loka in Kailash, where the demigod Shiva is residing, but in Shiva Loka, between the material and spiritual world, above the 7 layers of the universe. That's Shiva Loka. And that Shiva Loka is similar to Vaikuntha, but it's something between material and spiritual. But it's eternal abode of Lord Shiva. And Banasura, he got a place there to become Lord Shiva's. He became immortal. Krishna gave him blessing. You will never get sick and you will never die. Krishna gave blessing. And he became associate of Lord Shiva, who can grant liberation to everyone. But Krishna made him an associate. That means even if you want to become an associate for Shiva or for any demigod, you have to also get the blessing of Krishna. Even for that we need blessing. So, and here also we hear Narada Muni came to Prachinibhari because he was a descendant of Dhruva Maharaj. And Dhruva Maharaj, Prince Dhruva, he was a very great devotee, very dear to Krishna, because he surrendered ultimately. He performed so much transcendental activities. And ultimately, Dhruva Maharaj, he could attract the Lord to appear before him. And then actually he came in touch with the Lord. He became so much purified when the Lord asked him, "What do you want? What is your desire? You called me." He said, "Svamin kritam varam naache." Svamin kritam varam naache. Now I'm fully satisfied. I don't need any more varam, no more benediction. I'm fully satisfied. He only asked for the pure devotional service. And that he can become an eternal associate of the Lord. But the Lord told him, no, I have a plan for you. You have to stay in this world and become a king. You are Vaishnava now, you are qualified to become king and rule the citizens in a very nice way, in Krishna conscious way. So Dhruva Maharaj, he had many descendants, and Prachinibhari was in the line of Dhruva. And because Dhruva anyway got the mercy and the instruction of Narada, therefore he received the darshan of the Lord. So Prachinibhari, he got the blessing from Narada, because Narada, he cannot wait until somebody is ready to surrender in many, many lifetimes. He's express man. He gives us the express process to go directly to Krishna. In one lifetime. So he thought, now out of his kripa, of his mercy, and compassion, is paradukha dukhi kripa moya. This is the nature of a great Vaishnava. He's paradukha dukhi kripa moya. He suffers because of seeing others suffering. And what he's doing if he sees others suffering? He's not laughing and enjoying, his misery likes company. No. He likes to help. He likes to save them. Therefore he made the plan. He had the desire to deliver King Prachinibhari. Although he knew he was very much attached to fruitive activity, but he came to give him valuable instruction, but ultimately help the king to become detached and prepare himself for the ultimate goal, going back home, back to Godhead. So this is Narada's, again, special mercy. And also his sampradaya has this mercy, embodies this mercy, to give the people, although they don't want, nobody wants to become Krishna conscious nowadays, but still, the Vaishnava thinks, like Srila Prabhupada, he thought, anyway, let's try. Let's try. My Guru Maharaj, he told me I should do it. So I don't have to speculate. So I do it. I don't know the result, but I have faith in the instruction of Guru. And he was very sympathetic, very very merciful, compassionate for all living entities. So he wanted to come and save them. And the result we see, even today, it is going on generation after generation, because Prabhupada, he was setting the seed. He actually planted so many seeds, and these seeds are spread more and more by his instructions, by his lectures, by his books, by his followers. And he told, as long as his followers are staying pure and fixed in Krishna consciousness and fixed in the instruction of spiritual master, they will not fall. They will get ultimately the mercy of Krishna and can themselves deliver so many people as expansions or extensions or expansions of Srila Prabhupada's and Lord Chaitanya's arms. Prabhupada told, I'm only one person, but now by mercy of Guru Maharaj, now he sends so many nice personalities to me, girls and boys in that time, who can help me to spread this mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Good. Hare Krishna. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. It's finished. Any question? You can come here.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. As Gopi, did Lord Shiva, did he sing the Gopi Git song or the Rudra Git song? As Gopishwar Mahadev, did Lord Shiva sing the Gopi Git song or the Rudra Git song? Did Gopishwar Mahadev, did he sing the Gopi Git song or the Rudra Git song?
You ask me?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Asking you.
I was not there at that time. I don't remember. And I don't find any scriptures about that. That he was singing it. But there's one famous song about Krishna and about Radharani, what Shiva was composing. Glorification about Krishna and about glorification of Radharani. But Gopi Gita, I don't know. Because Gopi Gita was 5,000 years, and Shiva, I don't know if he... Good, we stop. Hare Krishna. Thank you.